I suspect in all of our lives there are times when we find ourselves needing to do something that we just don't want to do. Perhaps it's getting out the ladder, climbing up on the roof, and cleaning out the gutters. Maybe it's sitting down and completing the assignment the teacher expects us to hand in tomorrow. Maybe it's moving to a retirement or to a continuing care community. Sometimes we find these things we don't want to do, and we put them off for as long as we can. And at other times when we encounter these sorts of situations, we simply grit our teeth and go ahead and do it, knowing that it won't necessarily get any easier if we wait. But when Jonah was asked to do something that he did not want to do, he neither dove right in and did it gritting his teeth or simply tried to postpone it to a later time. He actually decided to run in the opposite direction. God called him to go to Nineveh and preach in that great city. God called him to go to Nineveh, a city that was not within the boundaries of his country, a city full of people who were not part of Jonah's faith community. As far as Jonah and his countrymen were concerned, the people were outsiders. They were foreigners. They weren't nearly of the same caliber as the Israelites. While I doubt that the Ninevites actually looked any different, as far as Jonah and those who sat next to him in the synagogue were concerned, they had branded all the Ninevites as being wicked, shifty, dishonest. I strongly suspect that parents taught their children not to play with a Ninevite should one happen to stop by. And surely you would be prepared to put your house on the market if a Ninevite moved down the street from you. And you would never, ever consider inviting a Ninevite to your house for a drink. Well, as much for their sake as for yours, for sure. And I don't really imagine you'd be willing to share the same lunch counter with a Ninevite either. Ninevites, you see, just weren't our kind of people. They weren't likely to fit in. So better to be separate. Better for everyone. So that meant that about the last thing Jonah wanted to do was actually travel to Nineveh and preach to those outsiders. It was such a distasteful concept that he didn't just postpone the task as we might cleaning out the gutters or completing the homework assignment. He ran from it, boarding a boat that was sailing in the exact opposite direction from Nineveh. Jonah, however, quickly discovered that sometimes you can run from God, at least for a while, but you really can't hide from God when God decides God wants you to do something. Indeed, while on this ship heading to Tarshish rather than Nineveh, a great storm came up. The storm was so bad that everybody on the boat believed the boat would go under, at which point the sailors declared that someone on the boat must have made God really, really angry for the seas and the wind to be so fierce. They decided to draw lots to see who had done something to offend God. And when they did, all eyes ended up on Jonah, who freely admitted that he was likely the one who had offended God. That God had called them to go to preach in Nineveh, but he was sailing in the opposite direction to Tarshish. "Throw me overboard," he said. "Throw me overboard and save your lives." And that's exactly what he did. When Jonah ended up landing in the water, he encountered a big fish that swallowed him whole. And miracle of miracles, apparently that fish's belly was a rather comfortable place from which to contemplate life. And it even turned out to be a place that was conducive to Jonah writing a psalm. Well, 3 days later, the fish spit Jonah out on the shore, and God said to Jonah again, "Go to Nineveh and preach there." I guess at this point, Jonah realized that God wasn't really going to give him a choice in the matter in the end. So Jonah reluctantly made his way to that city. When his body had barely gotten inside the city limits, he stopped and he preached a sermon that surely was devoid of energy and emotion too. He was just going through the motions of preaching. Now, Jonah's sermon may have been the shortest sermon ever written, but it also may have been the world's most effective sermon. His sermon was all of 5 Hebrew words. 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the sermon, all of it. But as a result of the sermon, the entire town repented. They turned around, they turned toward God, and God forgave them and chose not to overthrow them. Now, you might think that Jonah would have been thrilled at his success. I mean, most preachers would be. One would have thought he would have been overjoyed that he had had such a powerful effect on an entire city. But if that's what you think, you're wrong. Not only was Jonah not thrilled about the response to his words, he was downright angry. And so Jonah went to the countryside to pout and to sulk. Nursing his anger, he said to God, "God, I knew this would happen. I just knew you'd forgive those foreigners, those outsiders. I knew it, God, I knew it, I knew it." I can picture Jonah standing up, walking in circles, stomping his feet. "I knew it, God, I knew it, God, I knew you were merciful." To this tirade, God responded, saying to Jacob, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And then God caused a bush to grow fast and tall and wide right next to where Jonah was sulking. Quickly, the bush was taller than Jonah, and in the hot midday sun, the prophet Jonah rested in the shade that bush provided. Despite the beating sun and the hot wind blowing, the bush provided a huge measure of comfort for an angry prophet. It wasn't long, however, before the bush began to wilt, leaving Jonah baking in the sun, further angering Jonah that day. When Jonah unloaded on God about the injustice of that plant dying, which had provided shade and comfort, once again God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? You didn't do anything to create the bush or to care for it, or to fertilize it or nurture it. Is it right, Jonah, for you to be angry?" And Jonah, should I not be concerned about the people of Nineveh, the people and their animals too? Should I not be concerned, Jonah, about Nineveh? We don't know if Jonah ever answered that question, or if he did, how he answered it, for this is where the book of Jonah ends. The story is left hanging. The question is left hanging. Should I not be concerned about Nineveh? the story of Jonah is a story about a reluctant prophet that includes a big fish, which is great fodder for children's illustrations, and it includes a shady vine that withers all too quickly. But what is this story really about? Scholars say we should not read the book of Jonah as a history text. It can't be. But rather, scholars say that this story, the story of the prophet Jonah, was meant to be read as something like a parable. It's a story with one main meaning, a story that was told and remembered and written down to make a central point that people needed to hear. That being the case, I do not believe that the story of Jonah is really about a group of people branded wicked who then repented. In fact, I cannot believe that all Ninevites were wicked, but they were certainly branded that way by Jonah and his community, which quite frankly is what insiders often do to outsiders in our world. I also don't believe that the core of this story is even really about Jonah, the prophet who tried to run from God and in the process got swallowed up and spit out by a big fish and then sat sweltering in the sun when the tree that shaded him died. But I think this story is really a story about God. A story about God's compassion and care, even for those who were not part of Jonah's community, even those that Jonah's community preferred to ignore at best or disregard or denigrate at worst. Should I not be concerned about Nineveh, God asks? We know in our minds the answer that God is hoping for, don't we? Should I not be concerned about Nineveh? But what is the answer to that question that our actions and our attitudes and our lives show forth? Should God not be concerned that there are retirees in our community who are lonely, in need of recreational opportunities, in need of a bit of love? Should God not be concerned that there are parents struggling to raise children who have autism or who are living with significant physical disability, which creates not just isolation but crushing physical or financial burden on the household? Should God not be concerned that humans and animals are dying because of global warming, something we could deal with but choose not to because the changes would be difficult and uncomfortable? Should God not be concerned about the students and faculty and staff of McCain High School, literally a stone's throw away from our doors, or those who are a part of a college just a couple of hills away? And what about the girl who has less opportunity and fewer rights simply because of where she was born, or the color of her skin, or who it is that she loves? Should God not be concerned about her? When God asked Jonah, "Should I not be concerned about the people of Nineveh and their animals too?" I think I know the answer that God was hoping Jonah would give. And I think I know the answer God is hoping our lives will write today. And I think it's just possible that we too may be called to go to Nineveh. After all, Nineveh is just outside our doors. Amen.